and yourselves to go with him, that ye'll be going back to Fellbar with what ye seen with your own eyes." Ragged Dane considered the words for a few moments, then offered a salute to the young king of Mithril Hall. "Ye're ready now," he said, and clapped Conrad hard on the shoulder once more. "Here's to hoping that the twins of Harbrum catch on as quick." "Ah, but there's two of them," said Conrad. "Sure to be." He looked back up at the sky, at the roiling clouds of smoke or some other foul substance that turned daylight into something less than moonlight and hid the stars entirely. "Sure to be," he said again, more to himself than to his guest.
"I am a priest of Grumsh One Eye," the tall orc protested.
"Yes, and I was hoping that your standing would indicate some intelligence at least," Tiago Bayenry replied with a derisive chortle, and he walked off to the side.
"We have come to offer a great opportunity," Tosin Armgo retorted. "Would not your Grumsh be pleased?"
"Grumsh!"
the orc started, but Tosin cut him short.
"Would not the god of orcs swim in the blood of humans, elves, and dwarves?"
The tall orc gave a crooked smile as he looked over Tosin, head to toe.
"Or Yuga knows you,"
the shaman said, and Tiago snorted again at the typically orc habit of referring to himself by his own name.
"You speak of elves,"
or Yuga went on.
"You know elves. You live with elves."
"Lived,"
Tosin corrected.
"I was chased out, and by the same female who killed many of your kin by the Holy Cave."
"That is not the tale my people tell."
Tosin started to respond, but just blew a sigh. His actions in that instance, with his wife Sinifane by his side, certainly would work against him. He had abandoned her to the pursuing orcs in his quest to catch up to Doomwheel and led her into the Underdark. But any of the orc survivors from that skirmish surely knew that he had not been fleeing from Sinifane, but rather traveling with her. Oryuga chuckled and started to continue, but now it was Tiago who cut him short.
"Enough," the son of House Bayenry demanded. "Look above you, fool. Do you see that? We have blocked out the sun itself. Do you understand the power that has come upon these lands? If you or your stubborn King Obuld will not heed our call, then we will simply replace you both and find another king and another priest who will."
The orc priest straightened his shoulders and stood up tall, towering over Tiago. But if the drow was intimidated, he certainly didn't show any signs of it.
"Ravel!"
Tiago called, and turned to the side, guiding Oryuga's gaze that way to see Oryuga, another Oryuga, approaching.
"What is this?"
the orc demanded.
"Do you really believe we need you?" Tiago scoffed. "Do you hold yourself tall enough to believe that a plan to conquer the Silver Marches rests on the choices of a simple orc priest?"
"High shaman,"
Oryuga corrected.
"Dead shaman,"
Tiago corrected, his fine sword, a sliver of the starlit sky it seemed, flashing from its scabbard and rushing tip in to rest against Oryuga's throat.
"I serve Grumsh."
"Want to meet him? Now?"
Tiago flicked his wrist a tiny bit, and a spot of blood appeared on Oryuga's throat.
"Answer me,"
the vicious drow prompted.
"But before you do, think of the glorious sights you will miss when a sea of orcs swarm the mounds and dales and roll over the great cities of Lorwar. Think of the slaughter of thousands of dwarves, and all without a swing of Oryuga's heavy mace. Because that is what we will do, with you alive or with you dead, it matters not."
"If it matters not, then why am I alive?"